want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy Labor Day weekend to you, beautiful Brevard County. I pray that you get the day off today and you get to do some relaxing and some enjoying time, getting some things done. But my name is Bob Arthurs, by the way, from Merritt Assembly of God. I want to challenge you to do this. If you find some extra time on your hands today, why don't you spend some extra time with God? Here a few weeks ago, I had a really difficult night of sleep on a Thursday night, and so I managed to get everything done, but there was not anything fun that I was going to do. It was really, really warm outside. I was tired, and I said, you know what I'm going to do on my day off? I'm going to spend some extra time in the Word. I'm going to spend extra time in prayer. And I will tell you that spiritual rest can be a great, great blessing in your life. So I pray that you will make time to rest in the Lord before you go back. A lot of times God prepares us with rest right before a very intense season in our life. So today I want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. They have spent over four decades helping keep people stay cool in the summer, warm in the winter. They provide professional sales, services, and repairs. If your air conditioner breaks, they can fix it. If your heater goes out, they can fix it. If you have an electrical problem, they can repair that too. They work primarily in residential settings. They do provide emergency service when necessary. They also do a little bit of light commercial work, like the church and things like that. But no matter which field, no matter which setting, they always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. And so before you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call. Write this number down, 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. That is Wyrick Air, Weirich Air, Rockledge, Florida. But they travel all throughout Brevard County, taking care of people's climate control issues and power issues. They will be a blessing in your life. I encourage you to call them whenever you have an issue. So we have been talking for several days now, I think most of last week, if not all of last week, on what God was doing in Acts chapter 10 about how God perceived Cornelius and prepared Cornelius and the participation that Cornelius had in order for this spiritual revelation and blessing to come to the church. And then we talked about God preparing Peter. And today we are going to launch into Peter's participation of what he needed to do in order to make this marvelous supernatural blessing that God wanted to bring to Cornelius in Caesarea to pass. Okay, so in verse number 23, this is Acts chapter 10, verse number 23. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren with Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up. I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? That's very similar to his question up in verse 21. For what reason have you come? So let's dive into this just a little bit. There wasn't phone technology. It's often important for us to remember the settings, the historical settings where things took place. So it can't be just a person picking up a phone and calling. There's no FaceTime. There's no Zoom calls. There's no virtual meetings that are possible. There's not make a recording, you know. There's just basically one-on-one human interaction. And let me ask you, don't you miss being around people after the last couple of years? One of the things that society social studies experts are noticing is that all of that time being isolated from other people has not been good for people. God said back in the garden, it's not good for man to be alone. It doesn't mean that you got to be around people all the time. When we went on vacation, we stopped in St. Augustine and visited some family, and we were in, it was a Saturday in the historical part of St. Augustine, and there were thousands and thousands of my closest strangers. And I was like, I just want to find a spot where I got a little bit of room where I could stretch out my arms and not feel like I'm about to punch somebody. You know, I have to do this thing for the church where I do crowd management training, and they describe in there that in an outdoor event, if a person has less than 5 square feet, then they just basically go with the crowd. You don't really want it to get too much beneath 10 square feet per person. And I was looking at that and saying, yeah, I don't know if we got the 10 square feet there at that particular time. So I'm not saying that you have to be around people all of the time, but you are not supposed to be isolated all of the time. Watch too many nature documentaries to see what happens when a part of a pack gets separated from the pack and ends up being isolated. And so Peter, he accompanies these men all from Joppa to Caesarea. And when he gets to Cornelius' house, he finds a whole bunch of people that were there waiting for him. It was Cornelius's relatives and his close friends. It's just a strategic question. How long has it been since you've opened your house to your relatives and close friends to have an encounter with Jesus? Just a thought. It's just a thought. I'll just throw that out there and allow God to work on that in your life. There may be some of your relatives that aren't saved that could be saved if we were to do that. Just throwing that out there for you to think about. So as Peter comes in the door, verse number 25, Cornelius met him, and here's this Roman centurion who understands authority. He meets him and he falls down at his feet and worships him. That most of the time that means he fell down on his face before Peter. It was an act of worship, and Peter made him stand up and said, Peter lifted him, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." I've got a note written down here. Let me see if I can read this. Don't accept, this is what I wrote down, don't accept what belongs to God. Angels don't accept worship unless it is the angel of the Lord. In that case, that would be a theophany of the Lord Jesus Christ, and worship does belong to him. Worship does not belong to man. All glory, all honor, all blessing, all praise belongs to God. He is worthy of it. Worship is actually a compound word that has been contracted just a bit, where it literally means worth-ship. W-O-R-T-H-S-H-I-P. And it, when we pronounce it now, we don't say worth-ship, we say worship. And so worship belongs to God. It most certainly doesn't belong to the devil. And it doesn't belong to me. I'm a guy. I'm just a man. That's all I am. I'm just a person redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so if you're a servant of God, now there's a difference between worship and honor. There's a difference there. You are supposed to honor, give honor to whom honor is due, but worship belongs to God and God alone. Where people get in trouble, I was reading through the book of Acts here, and in Acts chapter 12, it said in Acts 12, verse number 19, it said, "But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them." Now listen to this. "And the people kept shouting, 'The voice of a god and not of a man.' Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied." Taking something that belongs to God has serious consequences. Now, thank God for his grace and thank God for his mercy, but let's not operate from a position of presumption. I know way too many people that They just presume things about God. Those are the kindest terms that I can put it in. Oh, well, I can just go out and do what I want. And, you know, if I completely turn away from God and betray God, oh, well, he's going to forgive me real quick. Now, the spiritual truth is there, but the spiritual maturity says that God wants to empower me to live the way I'm supposed to live. So don't accept worship because it belongs to God. Anybody that tries to worship you, listen, I've known more than my share of pastors, not that I've served under, but I've known more than my share of pastors who had serious flaws that ended up bringing disgrace to the kingdom of God instead of praised of, and people thought they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. So keep your perspective of other people in check. Okay? People created by God. Worship belongs to God. Worship does not belong to people. So I think it would do us well if we kind of got away from the celebrity status. I've got a friend of mine, and he and I have both said, you know what? If the price tag for being well-known or a celebrity preacher or anything like that, if the price tag of that is moral failure or the loss of my family or some other sinful disgrace, then count me out. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm not here trying to make my name famous. I'm here trying to make the name of Jesus famous. So Peter stands him up, and he talks with him, and went in and found many who had come together, and things are starting to come together for Peter. Remember, we said he didn't understand, he didn't perceive what God was saying to him in Joppa when he was up on the roof starving, and all of a sudden God starts speaking to him. He doesn't understand that, but all of a sudden he begins to understand a little bit about what God is saying. He said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. I will just say this. There is a difference between the traditions of men and the traditions of God. There is difference between what is disapproved of with men and what is disapproved of by God. Just because something is legal doesn't mean that it is moral. So there are parts of the United States that have legalized drugs. There are certain drugs they've legalized. But that doesn't mean that you should do it. Because anything that impairs your mental faculties, you shouldn't have any part of that. So there are places that is legal. There are also places that prostitution is legal. But that doesn't mean that you're supposed to be doing that. The Bible speaks very specifically that you're not supposed to be participating in that. And probably the greatest thing that I could ever say is, sir, would you want somebody treating your daughter that way? Because I don't think that you do. I don't think that you would. And so, again, there's a difference between legal and moral. And Peter says, according to Jewish custom, I'm not even supposed to be having this conversation with you. I'm not supposed to be in your house. You're not even part of the Jewish nation, but here I am at God's insistence. And all of a sudden, we are getting ready to see a major dynamic shift in the church in Peter's day. I think that even Christians struggle with the concept of change. The truth of the matter is, nobody likes change unless it is a change they are in control of. I'm going to say that again. I don't know that I've ever said it that way before. No one likes change unless it is a change that they are in control of. For instance, you decide you want a new car, and so you change your old car for a new car. And the wonderful monthly payments that come with it and things like that. You decide that you want to change where you live. Those sorts of changes people are fine with. But all of a sudden, a change that is out of our control, that gets people very, very uncomfortable. Here's the reality. Only God is unchangeable, immutable. The Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's who He is. You're changing all the time. I was walking in front of our camera one day here earlier this summer, and it's like, what was that white thing that just crossed over in front of the screen there? And I, at the point in time that I said that, I really didn't know what it was. And so I turned around and I walked back, and that was when I realized that that white thing that just crossed in front of the camera was my hairline. And it's like, what in the world? I started off as a towhead blonde, and then I became dishwater blonde, then I came full on brown, and now I'm executive blonde. And it's like, don't like that change. I you know, change is something that people don't really care for. And when it challenges a societal norm, it becomes even more traumatic. You think it's no big deal. You should read Acts chapter 11, which we're going to do. You should read Acts chapter 15. There are some people that get really, really upset when God starts changing society in a way that He wants it. Jesus said, you have an interesting way of setting aside the laws of God for the traditions of men. Not going to work out well that way. And so God is coming and changing the perspective. No longer will the church only be about winning Jewish people to faith in Jesus Christ. Now the church is beginning to understand what into all the world means. Okay? Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit had said back in, or what Jesus had said in Acts chapter 1. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The Bible, He wants all men everywhere to repent. Let me tell you how God said it, that He wants all people to repent, and what the church tended to hear was He wants all the Jewish people to repent. And here's what God meant. He wanted everybody, Jewish and non-Jewish, male and female, young and old. I believe church should be multi-generational. It has been one of those interesting things in my ministry through the years about the people who end up coming to Merit Assembly of God, because we spend most of our ministry resources trying to reach younger people. And then I've got a lot of faithful and marvelous, wonderful, glorious saints. So Peter says, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. This is what he says, the latter part of verse number 28. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So he said, man says that I shouldn't be here. Man also said that Jesus shouldn't have been ministering to the woman at the well in Samaria, but he did. And so Peter says, but God. Those two words, when joined together, provide a glorious alternative to the limited perspective that men tend to have. Not just men as in males, but mankind. Our perspective is limited, and God comes and says, I need to broaden your vision. I need to broaden your understanding. And Peter here is talking to him, and he says, this is what God has shown me. You want to hear what God showed him? I should not call any man common or unclean. That you have to go back to what God had told him back in verse number 15. And a voice spoke to him again, Peter, again a second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Okay? You are not called to be common. You are called to be a unique masterpiece created by the hands of the master, filled with all sorts of unique manifestations of his beauty in your life. Too many times, the world is trying to shuffle everybody into the same cookie-cutter mindset, and God is saying, y'all, I got a lot of canvases that I'm using to create beautiful works of my master craftsmanship in. And so the church shouldn't be calling people that I have died to save, you shouldn't be calling them unclean and common when I'm looking to cleanse them and show off their marks of distinction. So, you know, I had a person ask me years ago, he said, well, what is the target of Merit Assembly of God? And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, what demographic are you shooting for? So I want you to know my answer. All of them. All of them. Everyone that I can come across. I've had, ever since day one, even when we had six people, we've had young people, we've had old people, we've had multiple different nationalities represented. We've had multiple skin tones. We've had people with different economic statuses in life. We've had business owners and employees. We've had people who were so poor, as Evie Hill said, they didn't have two food stamps to rub together. For us, it has been about this. If you're breathing, we want you to know about Jesus. If you're alive, we want you to know that Jesus can forgive you of your sins, cleanse you of your unrighteousness, fill you with the Word of God, fill you with the love of God, and empower you to fulfill your unique responsibility that He created you for. Don't believe the devil's lie that you're disposable. You're not. You're indispensable to the kingdom of God. We need you. We treasure you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
You're the river, you're the life, you're the giver, everything that's right. But my words are weary, they'll never do. My heart is ready, it was made to worship you. My lips cannot describe you, but my heart will sing. My mind cannot define you, but my heart will sing. My eyes cannot behold the precious. precious beauty of your face.